Have you ever thought about how you would do things differently if you were God? For instance, if I were God, I would not have created mosquitoes or dandelions. They're coming. Or anything that tastes like licorice. Anybody else out there doesn't like licorice? I know it's about half of the world doesn't like licorice. I would have made winter less cold, summer less humid, and in the fall, the leaves would still change their beautiful colors, but then they wouldn't fall out of the tree. They would just stay there so no one would have to pick them up, right? Wouldn't that be a better way to do it? And then they'd turn green again in the spring. That would be nice. I'm sure there are other good ideas that I would come up with. But there is one big question that I would really have to think over if I were God, and that is, would I give people free will? Would I give people free will? We can see the effects of free will everywhere. People hurt each other, for instance. People do foolish things. People say whatever comes into their minds without really thinking about it. And then they act surprised when their choices lead to hard consequences. On the other hand, people having free will means that they can choose to love and worship God. That we get to choose whether we're going to offer Him praise. We're not programmed to love our Creator. We're not even programmed to love each other. And so when we choose to do so, it's that much sweeter. Well, the good news, the first good news today is that I'm not God. Neither are you, by the way. Just want to clue you into that. But the only true God did give His people free will, and He even lets us choose how we're going to treat Him. He lets us choose whether or not we're going to love Him, whether we're going to follow His rules or just go our own way. And a long, long time ago, 3,500 years ago, God told His people, the Israelites, that they could make their own choice about how they were going to live their lives. They were free to choose whether they would follow God and follow His word, or whether they would ignore God and not love Him and not follow His word. And it was entirely up to them. And Moses, as he stood before the Israelites shortly before his death, he gave the people some advice, trying to help them to make the best decision that they could. But they were free to choose. They could live however they wanted to. And the same is true for us. So listen to what Moses said to the people. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 11. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience with Him, to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses set this choice before his people, before the Israelites, just before his death. Moses had been leading them for 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness. He led them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. He led them to Mount Sinai where they received the law. And then for 40 years through the wilderness, waiting for that generation that had been disobedient, by the way, to pass on. And Moses himself knew, as he finally led the people to the borders of the Promised Land, Moses knew that he wasn't going to be allowed in because of his own disobedience to God. But he had this last chance to influence the people. And so Moses made a series of speeches to the nation of Israel before they went into the Promised Land, and he gave them the law, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law, and it's this collection of speeches that Moses gave just before they entered into the land. And so after telling the people all that God desired of them, he asked them to choose. How will you live your life? Who will you follow? The choice is yours. And Moses told them the consequence of each choice. He said, I set before you life and prosperity, and death and destruction. It's very clear. If you obey God and you love Him and follow His Word, then you will live in the land, you will increase, you will be blessed, you will receive all that God has promised you. But if you don't follow God, then you will receive the penalty of your sin, destruction and death and loss. And so Moses pleaded with his people, choose life so that you and your children may live. God made two things very clear to his people. First, the choice really was theirs to make. God does give us free will. They could choose to honor God. They could choose not to honor God. It was up to them. And the second thing that God made clear is that there would be no surprise about the consequence of their choices. If you obey God and follow Him, then your life will be good and you will be blessed and you will grow your families generation after generation in the good land that God has given you. But if you don't, then there will be consequences for your bad choices. The same things are true for us. We have free will. You can choose, I can choose how we're going to live our lives. God allows us to make those choices, big choices as well as little choices. It's also true that the results of our choices have already been revealed to us if we're willing to read through God's Word and listen to and understand what it says. So you can look down the road of your life. You can think about where you're going in your life, what lies ahead for you, and you have a choice to make. You have many choices to make. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Are you going to choose to honor and obey God or are you going to choose to go your own way? And we think as we sit here this morning, well, the choice should be easy, right? Of course we're going to choose life. Of course we're going to choose to follow God. Well, it's a little more complicated than that. How do you choose life? What goes into that decision? And it's not just a one-time choice. We face these decisions, these choices over and over and over again every day of our lives. Will you choose life or death? Will you choose blessing or curse? Every moment of your life. So we begin with the most important choice that anyone will ever make, that all of us have to make, and that is that you choose life when you invite Jesus into your heart. And we all know that this is the most important choice that we will ever face. In fact, the New Testament makes it clear how we choose life. In Romans chapter 10, Paul actually borrows words from what we just read from Moses as he writes this. In Romans chapter 10, what does it say? And again, quoting from Moses, the word is near you, it is in your mouth, it is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how we choose to invite Jesus into our heart. That is how we choose life in this most important decision that any of us will ever make. And so that choice is before us. I know many of us here today have already made that choice. Some of you made that choice many, many, many years ago. And that choice has been the guiding light of your life. Jesus Christ has been your Lord and Savior throughout your life. You have already asked Him to take away your sins and to give you new and everlasting life. But some of you may still be thinking about that choice. Or some of you may not be quite sure that you ever really chose to find life in Jesus. Maybe you're not sure what it means to say that Jesus is Lord. And so it's important that we explain it, that we make it as clear as we can. Just as I read from Romans chapter 10, Paul says, let's make it clear. It's not far away from you. It's not somewhere kept hidden up in heaven. It's near to you. It's right here in front of you. And so how do we make this choice to find life in Jesus Christ? Well, the truth is that God loves you so much that He wants the best for you in every moment of your life. Not only in this life, but forever. God wants to be with you forever. But there's something that stands in the way of that, and that is that you and I sin. And when we sin, when we hurt other people, when we hurt God, it also separates us from God. And so as much as God loves you and wants to be with you, He can't be with you because He is holy and we are not. And so to deal with this issue that separates us from Him, the issue of our sin, God sent Jesus, His own Son, to die on the cross, to wash away your sin. And so now when you invite Jesus into your heart, or better said, when you accept Jesus' invitation to come into your heart, you choose life, and He washes away your sin, and He allows you to live with God forever. And so this choice is before you, just like it has always been before you, to choose life through Jesus or to choose death through your sin. The easiest way to choose life through Jesus Christ is simply by asking Him, simply by saying yes to His offer of new life. And I often tell people, and I'll repeat it now again for all of you, whether you're at that moment of making that choice or maybe you'll have an opportunity to help someone else make this choice, and I say it simply this way, to invite Jesus into your heart is by saying, thank you, sorry, and please. First we say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for offering me new life. And then we say, I'm sorry for my sin, for the ways I've hurt other people, for the ways I've disobeyed God. I'm sorry for those things I've done that have hurt you. And then we say, please, come into my heart, forgive me, make me clean, make me whole, and give me that promise of everlasting life. Choosing life through Jesus is the most important decision that you will ever make. But even after you've made that decision, and again, many of us have already made that decision, we still have choices that we face all throughout our lives. Jesus asks you to keep choosing life every single moment of your life. Which brings us back then to the choice that Moses set in front of the Israelites. You choose life when you obey God's word. When you obey God's word. And God makes it clear what He wants from us. Again, Moses said to his people, it's not some mystery. It's not far away. It's not hidden somewhere. No, it's been revealed to you what God desires for you and from you. It's not a riddle to be solved. Moses laid out the entire law to the people just as he had received it from God on Mount Sinai. In fact, Moses told it to him twice, and he wrote it down for them. And it's been passed down generation after generation. The details of the instructions from God of how the people were to live their lives. And so Moses says, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. In other words, you don't have to scratch your head and think, how does God want me to live? What does it mean to obey God? It's true for us too. For ancient Israel, obeying God was about following the Old Testament law. Again, that was written down for them word for word, shared with them generation after generation. This is how God wants you to live. This is what you do to honor God. This is how you show your love to God. You can read it. It's right there in front of you. It's read to you day after day, week after week, year after year. It's given to you right in front of your face. And the same, again, is true for us. For the Israelites, the law was sort of the right path for them to walk through life. But even more important, the law pointed them ahead to when the Savior would come, when the Messiah would come. And so now for us, knowing that Jesus has come to fulfill the law, to be that one who followed the law perfectly in perfect obedience, to bring the law to its perfect completion, and now we have God's Word in its completion, Old and New Testament. And so again, we read what Moses said. It's not too difficult. It's not beyond your reach. There's no mystery what God wants from us. We have it right in front of us. Jesus said that the law can be summarized in this way. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. In other words, take every part of who you are, all that you do, everything you desire, everything you think about, and use all of that to show love to God. And then the second part of summarizing the law is to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we are willing and able to do those two things, then we will be choosing life. We will be obeying God's Word. For us, obedience to the Word is not too difficult. It's not beyond our reach. There's no mystery in it. We have God's Word right here, written clearly and simply to tell us how to love and honor God, how we're going to treat other people, the right actions, the right words, the right thoughts, the right motivations of our hearts. And every day, we have to choose, which is the hard part. We have to choose whether we are going to obey. Will I love God more than my sinful desires? Will I live God's way, or will I just follow the empty promises of the world? Will I love my neighbor, or will I continue to put my own needs first? And these are choices that we make. Every choice throughout your day leads either to a little more life or a little more death. Every choice you make brings you either a little closer to God and His blessings, or brings a little more emptiness and suffering into your life and the lives of the people around you. And so no matter how long you have walked with Jesus, whether it's for a few days or a few minutes or for many, many years, you have choices to make. And you are responsible for your own actions before God, and every choice that you make will shape the rest of your life and will bring more life or more death into the world. And so I pray that you choose to follow God's way, that you obey His Word, and that as you do, you will see God's hand of blessing in your life and bringing blessing into the lives of the people around you. Now, there's another choice that as followers of Jesus that we make time after time. And you may not be quite as aware of this choice, but it's there before you every day. And that is the choice of whether you're going to share your faith with other people. Jesus gave us a mission to go and make disciples, to offer new life to those who are far from God. And so you choose life when you share Jesus' love and message. It's another way that we choose life. We make this choice by how we live, by the words that we speak, especially when other people are watching, when other people are listening and seeing and hearing how we live our lives. We make this choice by how we treat people with love, the same love that God shows us, we can share with the people around us. We make this choice by acting like Jesus, by showing compassion, by being gentle in how we treat other people, by being merciful and forgiving. We make this choice by joyfully obeying God's word, even when it's difficult. Joyfully obeying. We choose life by speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth, God's truth, but doing it in a way that shows God's love. And there are many, many ways throughout our days that you can choose to share the message of life with those who are lost and hurting and broken. We do it by how we love other people, and we do it also by telling the story of Jesus. And I believe that every Christian needs to know how to share our faith, because it is the mission that Jesus gave us. This is one of the ways that we choose life, by sharing the message of life. We need to know how to tell our own story of how I find life through Jesus Christ, how you find life. Tell your own story of what God is doing in your life and in the people that you care about. But then we also need to know how to tell the story of Jesus, and why He came into this world, and why He died, and how in God's power He rose again. Because every time the story of Jesus is told, this choice is offered. Every time people hear the story of Jesus, it's just like the choice that Moses set before the Israelites. Will you choose to follow Jesus? Will you find life in Him? Or will you reject His offer of forgiveness and salvation? It is this choice of life or death. And we are called to set that choice in front of the people around us, just like Moses set it in front of the Israelites. And our lives are defined by the choices that we make. We choose life through Jesus Christ. And now we hold out that life, that choice, to others. And we pray that they will choose life as well. So let's pray now that God will give us the strength to offer that choice to others, even as we make the right choices in our lives. Father, we thank You that You love us enough to give us free will, to let us choose. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we make the wrong choice, that we go the wrong way. And so we ask for Your forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to walk in Your ways, to go in the way that You know is right. But Lord, help us also to set this choice of life before others, to tell the story of Jesus, to share His love well, so that others can see who You are and Your great love for us, and the ways that You offer new life through Christ, not only to us here in the church, but to everyone in this world. Because You want everyone to find new life. And so help us, Lord, to be a part of offering that choice to others. And give us the wisdom to show what it means to choose life. Lord, we pray these things in the name of our Savior. Amen.